Thanks for reading that for us, Louise. And if you've got a Bible open at home, Psalm 122, please keep it open. It'll be very handy and be help to me if you've got that in front of you. Now, have a think about a place that you've always wanted to visit. I wonder what that place would be for you. A place you've always wanted to set foot in. Maybe it would be somewhere with some historical significance. Maybe it would be the hallowed turf in your sports stadium where your team made sporting history. Well, imagine your delight when the phone rings and one day your friends, your family say, let's go and visit that place. I bet as soon as lockdown ended, you'd have your suitcase packed and your flights booked. Well, the author of this Psalm 122 tells us that one day his friends phoned up and they said, let's go up to the city, up to Jerusalem, and let's go to the temple to worship God there. And this pilgrim had his bags packed and his camels booked even before they'd taken a breath. Here's our pilgrim. He's making his way up to Jerusalem. And we joined him last week on the journey, Psalm 121. And now, Psalm 122, he's arrived. He says in verse 1 that when his friends said, let us go to the house of the Lord, he rejoiced with them. And now he's here. They've arrived. And you know what that's like, that feeling, when you finally set foot in that place that you've always wanted to be. Robert Louis Stevenson said, it's better to travel than to arrive. Well, that might make a good slogan for an Irish airline company, but I'm not convinced that it is better to travel than to arrive. There's something brilliant about arriving in a place, especially when that place is home. You see, our pilgrim here hasn't been sitting at home scanning the travel websites. Actually, back in Psalm 120, when his journey actually began, the first of the Psalms of Ascent, in Psalm 120, the pilgrim is living far away from home. He's a refugee. He says, how I suffer in far off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. Well, these were the furthest known places at the time, the most north and the most south. And really what he's saying in a sort of poetic way is, I'm far away from home, and my family and friends are scattered at the furthest parts of the world. And he's surrounded by people who just want to make life miserable. I'm tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. So you just have to imagine this guy. His family are living in tents as refugees. They're scattered. He can't see friends and family as he would like because they're all over the place, separated and scattered far and wide. And there's no peace. There's no security. There's no rest. So no wonder he says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And then he arrives. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Finally, we are home. Well, as he and his friends and family stand inside the city gates, as they gaze and look around at what they can see, what do they find in this city? What can you find in a place like this? Well, first of all, you can find a place of unity and security. No longer are people scattered and separated. Now you're all together. Verse 3. This is Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. And the language he uses here is a picture of tents. You know, the tents that they lived in, separated as refugees. He takes this picture. And the language is bound together. It's the idea of the pieces of cloth that you would take and you'd bind them tightly together to make your tent, to make a place that is secure. And he says, now we are bound together, no longer scattered in tents, but secure. It's wonderful. Here are people united and secure. In fact, as this pilgrim looks around this city, he is just amazed. Look, what does he see? Verse 4. This is Jerusalem, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Now, just think about it. This is pretty surprising, isn't it? Here are all these tribes, these different people, who spend their days fighting. Their rivals, competition, arguments, battles are just part of everyday life between these tribes. But here are people who do not naturally love each other, coming together to give thanks to the name of the Lord. They don't go looking for unity and harmony, but they find it. They find it when they go to give thanks to the Lord. And that's what makes this pilgrim so glad, that all these different people are gathered together at the house of the Lord, the temple in the city, and together they are one in praising God. Now, haven't you found that? Haven't you experienced that as a Christian? Gathering together with God's people to give thanks to the name of the Lord, to sing his praises, to pray and give thanks for what he's done. Haven't you found that there's a unity and a harmony between Christians and between the people you gather with? Even if you're not from the same culture, the same country, or the same tribe. I remember being at a conference in London, and there were people from all over the world gathered into this room. And we prayed and we sang and we read the Bible together. And I didn't have very much in common with some of those people there. But we were united in praising the Lord together and giving thanks to him. Isn't this city a wonderful place? So what else can we find in this city? Well, you can find a king you can trust. This city brings people together under God's king in verse 5. There in this city, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Now, maybe the thought of living under the rule of someone else makes you uncomfortable. Maybe the thought of having God make your decisions for you and direct your actions in life just doesn't sit easy with you. But notice that in this city, the thrones are there for judgment. The thrones are there for justice. God has chosen David, King David, and his sons to sit on the thrones in Jerusalem and to rule for the good of the people. They are there to rule and to uphold justice and to see that everyone is treated fairly. Now, having a king like that doesn't sound so bad, does it? In fact, our pilgrim here, he recalls what life was like back in the refugee camp, far away from God's city. In Psalm 120, he cries out to God and he prays, "Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people." Outside the city of God, this pilgrim finds that he is surrounded by deceit and lies. Those who hold power in these faraway places are not interested in justice. Life outside God's city is one not only of separation and insecurity, but it's also not fair. There is no justice. People are not protected by those in power. So imagine his joy to finally come to the city where God's king rules in justice, and where his people can find a king they can trust, a king who doesn't use lies and deception to abuse his people. Now, I know that some of you watching this morning, some in our church family, know what injustice is. You're experiencing it at work, and I know it's not a pleasant experience. You're in that place, and it feels like you're in that place of deceit and lies, and there is no peace. Well, isn't it good to know that there is a place where you can find a king you can trust, and where he is, you will find a place of security. Isn't that a place we'd all love to live in? Isn't that a place where we could actually find peace? I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." This city is wonderful because friends and family are united and because the king is a man you can trust. But the problem is, not everyone thinks that is good news. The thought of people uniting in worship of God, living securely under God's king, and enjoying God's peace actually makes some people go mad. So in Psalm 2, we read that the nations rage against the Lord and against his anointed king. They go mad because they want to overthrow his rule and his city. And we know that Satan, the devil, hates nothing more than seeing people united in worshipping God and enjoying his peace. We live in a world that is at war with God and his king. And so the peace of God's city is under threat. Sin and Satan threaten this wonderful place. So because of that, the pilgrim prays for God's city. Just look at verses 6 to 9 with me. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Well, the pilgrim finds peace living in God's city under God's king. But he doesn't take it for granted. He recognises that the peace and the security of Jerusalem is not guaranteed. And of course he was right, wasn't he? For as time went on, the rulers in Jerusalem rejected God's word, no longer maintained justice, but took advantage of their people. There was no king you could trust. The temple, the house of the Lord, was destroyed. The worship of the Lord was disrupted. And the tribes who had come together were again exiled, refugees in a foreign land. All that made Jerusalem the city of peace was lost, and all because of sin and the rejection of God's word in the life of the people. So, did God not answer that prayer? The prayer for peace for Jerusalem, the prayer in Psalm 122. Well, God often answers our prayers in surprising ways. He often answers our prayers in ways that we can't even imagine. And that's why the vision that John had of the future, the vision in Revelation, is so important. Because John sees this new city, this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And as we read Psalm 122 in the context of the whole Bible, we can see that there is a place of unity and security. We can find a king we can trust, and we can find peace in God's city. But it's the new Jerusalem, the new city of God coming down out of heaven, where people from all tribes and nations and cultures will come and be united in worship again. Where we will find a king ruling in justice, and in his kingdom we will find peace and security and goodness and well-being and rest and righteousness. And of course that king is the Lord Jesus, the Lamb who sits on the throne, the one who died to secure this glorious future place for his people to be with him. This is the new city of God where we will enjoy the presence of God. Did you notice that was why the psalmist, the pilgrim, was so delighted to be in Jerusalem? Because that is where the house of the Lord is. That is where God was present. That is where you could come close to God. And do you know, that is what you were made for, to enjoy a close relationship with God, to worship him, and to be in his presence. But the wonderful thing for Christians is that we don't need to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, or any other city for that matter, in order to experience the presence of God. We don't even need to be in a church building, because the house of the Lord has come to us in Jesus Christ. He is the new temple. He is the way to meet God face to face. And we have the privilege of rejoicing every single day in his presence. And one day we will see God when we gather around his new temple, the Lord Jesus himself. What a great future to have promised to you. We need that, don't we? We need to know what the future holds, what is in store for us up ahead, to keep us going today. And these psalms were sung by pilgrims making a hard journey up to Jerusalem. And this particular psalm, with its vision of this wonderful city, is placed very early in the journey. They sing it so early on because knowing what awaits them is what's going to keep them going on this difficult journey. And if you're a Christian, then you are a pilgrim as well. And life isn't easy. You're a refugee away from home. But I want to say this to you this morning. Keep going and keep praying, because this is the future God has for you. We're told here to pray for God's city. Pray for the place where God's king rules God's people in harmony and security. So what do I mean? How do you actually pray for that? What would you say? Well, begin by praying for our church family. Pray that we would enjoy worshipping God together under God's King. As our church family has gathered together in the past, you've experienced this unity and this gladness of worshipping God. You've experienced life together, sitting under the authority of Jesus the King, as he rules his people through his word. And you have found he's a king you can trust. So pray for our church family that we would again experience that gladness and peace and unity together. Pray that we would increasingly find that amongst us. Pray against any disunity between us, anything that would threaten the peace of God's people. Pray against the attacks of Satan, who seeks to divide us and destroy the joy that might be found in worshipping God together. But as well as praying for our church family, pray even more for the peace of the new Jerusalem. Pray that Jesus would come and establish this place where we can live securely, at peace with God and at peace with one another. The place where God will dwell with us, with no separation because of sin. I imagine if you were an actual refugee, far away from home, would you pray for your home city? Would you pray for the peace of your home city? I bet you would. So pray for your home city, the heavenly Jerusalem, where you truly belong. Maybe we have unpacked the suitcases here too early. Maybe we are too comfortable where we are, and we've forgotten that we are pilgrims on the way. Maybe we've forgotten that the tribes and the peoples and languages and nations will one day come streaming into this city to live under the reign of this king. Well, pray for your family and your friends. Pray for people around the world that they would come to find peace living under the rule of Jesus the King, the one we can trust. And as you pray, and as you journey as a pilgrim, invite others to join you in making that journey to God's city. Now, it might be that you're watching this morning and you haven't found this place yet. You haven't found a place of peace with God, and you haven't yet put your trust in King Jesus. Maybe it's like you're standing on the steps of the city or at the gates of this city, and you can look in, but you haven't quite stepped in yourself. You have questions, perhaps. You're looking around this city, this gathering of people, and you're thinking, well, I'm curious. I would like to have the joy that they have, but I'm just not sure. The thought of gladness at worshipping God just doesn't make sense to me. Or maybe you're watching people joyfully worshipping God and you just have the question, okay, this seems too good to be true. Are they just filling themselves? Can I trust this God and this King? Will he rule my life and bring me peace? Can I really trust him? And maybe you're just standing there at the edge of things, on the outskirts of this place, as it were, and you're just wondering. Can I say that Jesus himself stood outside the city? He stood outside the historical Jerusalem. He wasn't standing there because he was asking questions or wondering should he go in. But he had come as the king of this city. He came riding on a donkey as a king who was lowly and humble. And he looked over this city and it says that he wept over it. And this is what he said. If you, even you, Jerusalem, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus comes to Jerusalem and he weeps over the people he loves because they don't recognize him as the king they can trust. And they don't realize that he is the one who will bring peace to God's city. So can I say to you today, if you're standing on the edge asking questions is good. Keep asking the questions. It's good to be interested. But that is not enough. Questions and life outside this city will never bring you lasting joy and peace. And Jesus himself wept because people would not accept him and accept the life that he offered. And I don't want you to miss out on this simply by staying outside and always asking questions. Perhaps it's time today to step inside and to put your trust in Jesus and find this place of security and unity and peace with other Christians. Christians are pilgrims with a great future ahead of them. Let's keep going. Let's keep praying because we will find a place that is secure. We have found a king we can trust and a home in his city of peace. So let's pray now. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus came and made it clear to us how we can enter his city. He died for us and rose again to make a way. So help us to come into your place of peace and find a home there. And help us to keep going on the pilgrimage, to look forward to seeing so many people joining us in giving thanks to you. We can't wait to meet our King, the one we trust today. Thank you for the preview that you've given us in our church family. We already, in some ways, experience this joy and this unity together. But protect your people as we walk together and bring us at last to the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to continue now in prayer as Richard Hames, one of the church wardens in Enderby, leads us in prayer.